From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. And it's time for our semi-regular conversation about politics with our commentators, Washington Post columnist E.J. Dionne, here in our studios. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
And New York Times columnist David Brooks, who joins us today from member station KUAT in Tucson. Thanks for being with us.
Good to talk with you.
Let's talk first about the ripple effects, if there may be any, of the recall vote in California. It seems like some Republicans are salivating at the prospect of getting some traction in that state, which is traditionally heavily Democratic, in the upcoming presidential race. Is there any basis for that optimism, do you think? E.J. Dionne first?
I think the two words we have to keep remembering are Gray Davis. I think both parties want to read a lot into this. Republicans want to say, aha, an anti-tax message. We have the governor now of what had been a very Democratic state. Democrats want to say, aha, look at how unpopular incumbents are. The economy washed out Gray Davis. But I just don't think you can underestimate how mad the voters of that state were at Gray Davis. And it's probably a sort of Washington or Tucson commentator habit to read more into a race that was really very much about a person and about a really messy situation in one state.
David Brooks, are you reading more into it?
A little more. I don't think the governorship of California will help determine the presidential race. We kept hearing about governors last time. The governor of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin would deliver for the Republicans. That never happens. The big effect, I think, will be on the sex scandal. The fact that the sex scandals that plagued Schwarzenegger did not hurt him in the end could be a sign that that sort of scandal politics has passed its due date, and that it just may not be effective in swinging voters anymore. And if that's the case, and to me that is the big mystery of this whole campaign, then that will affect national politics.
One of those who seized on the message of California was Democratic hopeful Howard Dean, who said, come next November, the anger might be directed at a different incumbent in the White House. I guess the idea there being that the same momentum that propelled Arnold Schwarzenegger into office could conceivably propel him. What do you think? Any sense of that being reality, David Brooks?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think there was a tremendous anti-political feeling going on there. But that was not necessarily anti-incumbent. It was against people who are partisan, who are bitter, who fight partisan battles on left and right. And if there's anybody who falls into that category, it's Howard Dean. I've always thought that'd be his problem, that suburban middle-class voters just don't like partisanship of either sort.
See, I actually think Howard Dean tapped into a very similar kind of anger in building himself up inside the Democratic Party, an anger at the establishment in the sense that it wasn't doing its job. I think the revelations on groping or battery or whatever word you want to use are very interesting, and there has been so much hypocrisy here. The very kinds of people who were going on at Clinton about this suddenly found themselves defending Arnold Schwarzenegger. And Schwarzenegger was very shrewd. He turned it into an anti-establishment thing, said the LA Times and all these political types are going after me. He may have learned a little bit from an earlier president in the way he did that.
Let's turn our attention to General Wesley Clark. 3 weeks after entering the Democratic primary race, he has lost his campaign manager, Donnie Fowler. Fowler's supporters are saying that he quit because he was angry, that Clark's internet supporters were not being taken seriously enough. Others say it was just a power struggle and Fowler lost. What's going on with the Clark campaign, can we tell? E.J. Dionne first.
Well, this problem has been there from the very beginning. The Clark campaign was this fascinating combination of a bunch of establishment, mostly pro-Clinton Democrats, layered onto what had been a mass movement on the internet. And I think the contrast here is with the Dean campaign, which has done a very good job of integrating these two forces, and the Clark campaign has had trouble doing that. I think the other thing is the general took a long time to decide, but he clearly wasn't spending that time figuring out how to set up a campaign. I think these campaign squabbles matter mostly if you see some actual event in the campaign later, a messed up Clark speech or something like that, where you can say, aha, chaos in the campaign, event on the ground. Until then, it's of interest to people on the internet and those of us who talk about it.
David Brooks?
Well, I think Clark did find out who he is. He is not an angry outsider who's going to ride a populist campaign. He is, in fact, an earnest and rather pragmatic individual. And his best argument against Bush is not the Dean argument that plays well sort of in the populist internet world. It's a pragmatic argument against Bush. His best line says Bush comes up with solutions like tax cuts and then searches for a problem. That's a pretty good argument to use against Bush, but it's not the sort of whole-scale moral indictment that Dean goes for. So I think he is emerging as the establishment candidate, and now his campaign reflects that.
Let's talk some about what's going on at the White House. We saw a shakeup in who's overseeing Iraqi reconstruction efforts. More control being put in the hands of National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, some taken away from the Pentagon. And according to Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, he was sidelined in all this. He didn't know what was going on until he got a memo about it. European reporters asked him why these changes were necessary. And in typically Donald Rumsfeld fashion, he said, "I said I don't know. Isn't that clear? You don't understand English. I was not there for the background." David Brooks, what's going on?
Well, you thought the Iran-Iraq war was bad. The war between the CIA, the Defense Department, and the State Department is horrible. And this was a belated attempt to fix that. Bush thought, well, this tension will be creative tension. It turns out to be destructive tension. Because while the cabinet officials get along reasonably well, at the second and third level, the relationships were poisonous. So Bush finally decided that Condi Rice has to take control of this. The $64,000 question is, can someone of Rice's stature take on someone of Powell and Rumsfeld's stature? And I'm not sure she can, but it's a wise and belated move.
E.J. Dionne, this is a White House that has famously been on message, and we seem to be seeing some fissures here now.
I've been struck talking to both supporters and opponents of the administration of a widespread sense that they've been off their game now for a while. Just a couple of days before this shakeup of sorts was announced, I was talking to a former official of the Clinton administration who said, you got to think the president is sitting there and saying, am I being well served here? We have this mess on the ground in Iraq. A lot of Republicans of various ideological views have their knives out now for Rumsfeld. My poll ratings are going down. What's happening? I think this is a reflection of that. And they've got the additional problem of this leak investigation, and nothing discombobulates an executive department official more than having some notice from a lawyer saying you better do something now or else you're in trouble. And so I think they are going through a very, very difficult time.
This is the leak investigation into who exposed the identity of an undercover CIA agent, Valerie Plame.
Correct. And I think the Clinton White House experience of having lots and lots of people under investigation, that was, to say the least, very distracting from what their main job was supposed to be.
Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
E.J. Dionne is a columnist for The Washington Post and senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks is a columnist for The New York Times.